Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you each week by Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886. It is fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. And with that, we will welcome Mr. Flesh. Happy New Year.
You as well. I'm so looking forward to 2021.
Man, no doubt.
And getting past all of the things that we've been dealing with the worldwide pandemic, elections, all of the recent events at in D.C. I'm kind of over all of it.
Man, when you think last year about this time, we were at the International Sportsman's Expo.
Yeah.
And life seemed to be just...
Seemed pretty good.
Normal and well, and boy, just a few weeks later, everything changed.
Yeah, and you know, and all those plans we had for trips and all of the other things that we were going to do are scuttled, and they continue to be... I wonder when the border is going to open up between the U.S. and Canada.
I know,
yeah, it's been an interesting... You know what? From the standpoint of wanting to get past the pandemic and everything, it seems like we're making some progress relating to that, and the courts are changing the way that they're doing business. I had a judge this week that we were talking about. We've been doing a bunch of appearances by WebEx and Teams and all of those sorts of things. Actually doing a trial and a court trial in 2 weeks via video, which will be interesting. It's the first full-on sort of court trial that I've done with witnesses and exhibits and the whole thing, proceeding from the beginning to the end. So that's going to be a very interesting process. But all of these other sort of pretrial matters we've been handling remotely, and that's been going really well. I mean, we've been able to get a lot of cases resolved that way, even doing many mediations by Zoom, and those are going actually really well. So our model for practice is actually we've pivoted, and we've really been able to get constructive things done for people through the legal system over the last year. And I think some of that's going to continue, because I've talked to judges. This is where I was going. I talked to a judge yesterday that basically said, listen, we were setting something in April, and I said, is that going to be in-person appearance or can we request by WebEx? He's like, oh, no, WebEx is here to stay. You know, we're really becoming pretty efficient, and the courts are seeing that same thing. It's particular judges, not all judges, but most judges are taking the opinion and have become fluent enough, because that's what it is. It's really being able to learn how to use it and be comfortable with it. And it's just more efficient, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. In a lot of situations, and we can take pleas, and did a number of sentencings recently where the court makes decisions and you have witnesses and you have individuals who are able to testify, you're able to present evidence. All of those things in courts can make decisions just as if you had driven downtown or driven out to Arapahoe County or Jefferson County, or I've got a trial and, you know, on the Western Slope. So it's I think, going to be able to make things a little bit more efficient going forward as long as we continue on that path.
Right.
And that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see it making, because I can, just watching all the TV we watch in court cases, I mean, it would seem like it would be slightly more difficult to read the room, so to speak, to get a feel for, because sometimes you can just feel what's going on. And, man, when you're looking through a computer screen,
you know what's, right?
And you can only see certain people. How does that change?
It changes the way that you read the room, because the way this is set up, WebEx, for example, and Teams, you have all the people that are let into the. So you start out sort of in a reception room where the clerks then let you into the courtroom, and then there's the judge that you see, and then all of the other people that are waiting to talk with the court are there. Half of them have their video up so you can see them, and the judge always has to have their video up to see them for the most part. So you can see and feel how these judges are in the room, so to speak. And because of our experience prior to COVID, because we've known and have been in front of the majority of these judges, you get a sense of how they're doing based upon how they're reacting in the room. And then you get to see all these people and What's weird, of course, is that with WebEx, for example, the judge can mute the whole audience, and so no one can be heard, or they cannot do that, and sometimes they don't, and they just ask people to mute themselves, and you get these random people calling in, and it's quite humorous that you have this background noise of people screaming, or they're on the street, or I mean, all kinds of craziness. And so, you know, there are some judges that will get really annoyed, like acting like the people are in a regular courtroom again, and people's the way people react is different in a video environment than they would be if they were in person. But even that's changing to some degree, especially with folks that have done it more than once. They begin to realize that the decorum is the same, and that it really is like sitting in the courtroom sometimes, except I have a better view out my window than I would sitting in a courtroom, because most courtrooms don't have windows, because people used to jump out of them, and that's why they don't have windows.
really,
yeah, that's why. When they're building new courthouses these days, the reason that courtrooms don't have windows is because in Denver, for example, in the old courthouse, people used to, you know, either think they were going to get a bad sentence or be very concerned about what's going to happen in their appearance and try to jettison themselves out a window.
That's
I've seen it happen. And so that's why courtrooms are built the way they're built these days, with their little interior, no windows and no real sunlight. They're trying to do a little bit better job of that. But normally the windows, if there are any, they're way up on the top, so it doesn't really help you anyway. But at any rate, relating to where we're at, it's, you know, and unfortunately, I don't think crime is down any, because we're super busy with defense cases. And
I was going to ask you that. We just kind of, you know, the Thanksgiving and, of course, Christmas, New Year's, a lot of times DUIs are huge then. I mean, but you didn't see really any
I haven't seen letdown. Any letdown relating to that. And, in fact, what we've been seeing this fall, and it continues to be the case, is that individuals who may have had issues previously with drinking or other sort of substances, because they've been at home so much, have sort of gone back to some bad patterns. And so you were getting some driving under the influence cases that in the early morning hours, where people are getting pulled over, either really intoxicated or sitting in a parking lot at a liquor store, and the liquor store people have called the police to say this person seems not right, can you check on them, that sort of thing. And so those are more issues with people's sobriety than driving necessarily, but the system gets involved because they're behind the wheel, and then we've got to help them through the process of understanding what took place, and then generally speaking helping them get back on the path of recognizing that they can't drink or they can't do it. Sometimes it's prescription drugs, sometimes it's other things, but they just got to get themselves into a place where they admit they need a problem, and then go forward with those sorts of things. And so those sorts of cases are more the counseling aspect of our practice than the, you know, real hard litigation tactics and trying to, we are always trying to suppress evidence and do those sorts of things. But when it's clear, most police now have body cameras, so we've got footage, you know, when a person, they have contact with them, and immediately when they're talking with them sitting behind the wheel of the car, you can tell that they're slurring their words and that they're significantly impaired and that they just need help. It's going to be very difficult to have a judge suppress all of that evidence when somebody else has called it in and they're just really concerned about their safety, and then you've got the criminal aspect on that on the other side. So we're seeing those. We're also seeing a bunch of domestic violence cases where people are just, quite frankly, sometimes spending too much time together and causing some problems.
I'm telling you, people are stressed, man.
They really are. I mean, we've seen it recently in our politics. We've seen it recently in sort of what I think what Governor Polis has done with regard to moving from red to orange, when they've sort of put things in place as to when we're going to be doing these things, and then just randomly saying, well, we're going to move down because people need to get back out. I mean, he hasn't said that, but I mean, changing the way that they changed it over the New Year's, I thought was very peculiar when no one else is aware of it. And then it's sort of the stuff that we've been talking about for months in the sense of stop restricting. That's not really making a difference. But whenever he could get the opportunity to reduce the restrictions for any reason, he's sort of moving forward with that. And we're seeing it now. And Broomfield, I think, is trying to go to yellow. And, you know, people are tired of being as restricted as they are. And I can understand. I mean, there's there's no way that I would have been sitting home practicing law out of the house this whole time. I couldn't have done it. And so I can't, I have a lot of empathy for people that have been in that environment that find themselves in these difficult situations. And we've just got to help them through that. And the system, police are definitely, I think, doing more in the way of citing people and being less concerned about how the whole system is going to handle it. The system seems to be handling those new allegations and those new cases just fine, and we're getting through them just fine without having jury trials. And it looks like jury trials mostly will start up again probably the beginning of March is my guess.
Okay.
So federal system is saying that they're going to start January 29th. I have a federal jury trial, a civil case starting February 8th. I talked with the clerk for the district court this morning, and they said right now that we're going to go. And that's good because we need to go. This is a case that's been around since 2018. And so, I mean, it's been almost 3 years. And it's one of those situations where I hope we can go. I'm kind of surprised that because all of the state court systems during this time period are saying no cases in February because we're continuing to see a little bit of a spike after the Christmas holiday. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what's going on with this new COVID and how that's going to affect everybody. There's a few cases here. So it's a really fluid process, but it's one that we're figuring out. And right. And it's one that people obviously can get in touch with us. We're doing in-person meetings. We're doing virtual meetings if people want to do it. I'm talking over the phone lots with people about where they should go and what they should do. And so it's one of those things where we've been really dynamic in the sense of what we're willing to have people do to come in and feel safe and still get their matters resolved.
Right.
And the system seems to be catching up as well. So that's all good.
You're listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesch. Again, our show is brought to you by Flesch and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. And before we get into a little topic here, it's always a free consultation with you.
It is.
Talk about a little bit of why, you know, that's important for the client as well as yourself.
Yeah, so the free consultations, the thing that I don't want to have happen when someone has a credible legal claim of any sort, whether it's a criminal defense case or a personal injury case, the two sorts of things that we deal with primarily, I don't want them to feel like they can't talk to a lawyer because they think they're going to be instantly charged. Because a lot of people feel that way. That even with an initial consultation, you may have to pay me $300 for the hour or whatever. The reason that we offer initial consultations is because I want to make sure people have the opportunity to come and see us and have the opportunity to speak with the lawyer and not have that pressure relating to having to pay the fee. Secondarily, I also want to find out about the case because sometimes those cases that the people aren't really sure about, I can tell them definitively quite quickly, you've got a claim, it's worth some dough, and that money we can share down the road so that you don't have to pay us right now. Because again, that's an impediment that most people think immediately when they have to retain a lawyer that they've got to pay me a retainer up front. In some cases, that's the case. In civil cases where you have maybe a judgment where you're not going to get money, but you're going to get something else. You're going to get your reputation, or you're going to get some item back where you can't articulate what that value is. Those cases we normally handle on an hourly basis, and you'd have to pay us a retainer to go forward. But the majority of the other cases are on a contingency, and the contingency is us getting you money. And so why not start out that process by having a free consultation so that the only thing you really lose is your time and you're better informed than when you leave. And sometimes we get into these cases where we have a conversation with people, and I'm pretty blunt with them about, especially in the criminal defense stuff, because people will say, well, what should I do? And I'll say, well, there's sort of a fork in the road at this point, because number one, you could retain us and I can tell you what we would do for you. And I can tell you that those sorts of mannerisms and the way that we're going to go forward with the case are unique to us because we sort of know the room and we sort of know what is going to be effective. If you're going to try to do it on your own, I can tell you what to do, but you may not get anywhere with it and it's going to waste your time even further. And so those are the sorts of conversations we have in initial meetings so that I make sure we're comfortable in representing the person and that the person is comfortable having us represent them, because that's the first stage of the relationship, is making sure. I get calls, probably get 5 or 10 calls a week where people tell me sort of right out of the gate, either they're represented by the public defender or they're represented by another lawyer and they want to get a second opinion. And my first response to that is, why don't you trust the lawyer that you're seeing now and that you have a relationship with now and that you've paid money for? Not necessarily in the sense of the public defender, but that you're going down this road with. Mm-hmm. And why do you think I'm going to be better for you? And sort of have that conversation. Because sometimes people are just in the environment where they want to make the system as convoluted as possible, and they think by changing lawyers that may help them. And those are clients that I try to steer away from, because now they're using lawyers as a way to minimize their risk in, let's say, the sense of a criminal case, and they're really just out for themselves. They don't care who represents them. They're just trying to get some advantage by doing it. And those are, because I know at some point they're going to turn on me too, right? I mean, they just are. I have that conversation and I get that gut reaction as to why they're doing things that they're doing, and it's more nefarious relating to the fact that it's really related to just trying to make the system as difficult as possible to proceed with them. Mm-hmm. Those are cases that I like to meet with, and really, and then I have a heart to heart with them about what's going on. The second ones are just people that really don't know, and they've learned some in their first relationship with the lawyers that they have, and they realize that that's not the lawyers for them, and they can give me some credible reasons as to why. And sometimes they'll tell me the lawyer, and I'll know exactly what they're saying because I know them, I know their reputation in the community, and I've seen them in court, and I recognize that, okay, that probably isn't a good fit, right. And then we can have that conversation. And then other times, it's just a situation where they're getting a bad deal, and they really need some help, and they're either not being attended to, they don't feel like there's a professional relationship that they have with the lawyer, or the lawyer just isn't doing what they need to do, and of course, then we can help them in those situations. And or they just have a new matter that they just need help with, right. That's clearly credible, and those ones that aren't, then we have a conversation why they're not. Had a conversation this morning with a woman who new client, car accident January of last year, didn't know exactly when the accident happened when she was on the phone with me, didn't know how much she had treated, didn't know how much she had in the way of medical, sort of went through all of these things, and I'm like, why are you calling me a year after the fact? Why is it important to you today? Sort of talked our way through that, and then I gave her a list of things to go and find out about, you know, how much medical she's had billed, all of those sorts of things, and realized when she called me back about a half hour later that it just wasn't a case for us because it doesn't have enough medical. Damages, it was a rear end, so the liability was pretty clear, but the damage to the vehicle was $800. So then we started talking about low impact, and she sort of waited to treat. And then once she treated pretty well, but not very long. And now there's about a 6-month gap where she says she has to treat again. So we talked about all of those things in the initial consultation to realize that it's probably not a good fit for us to handle because the matter is going to be complicated. It's not going to be it's not going to be a lot in the way of damages. And she may have other options in the way of med pay and other things to get herself taken care of. Okay. And so those are the reasons that we have free consultation, long-winded explanation. But it's because I don't want to waste people's time. And let's say they pay me $300 and then they feel obligated to move forward with a case because they've now got skin in the game, and I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's really helpful for both sides a lot of times to do that so that those cases that are clearly we can help, we help, and those that we can't, then we give them options as to where to go.
Great. Yep. Once again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Legal Talk, brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. And I always tell you this, and will throughout the year, put that number in your phone. When you need it, you need it, and you need it right there at your fingertips. So 303-806-8886, and it is fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH lawfirm.com. For our last few minutes here, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about auto accidents. You know, throughout the years, we've always talked to people about, you know, hey, what to do, and after you have an accident, what not to do, things. But I thought we might talk a little bit just about kind of protecting yourself from accidents.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because sometimes I think you've probably passed an accident, and I mean, the roads seem flat, and you're like, how in the world did that car end up upside down or end up over there when it's just flat and the streets are dry and all this? So how can some people protect themselves?
Well, I mean, and that's talking about distracted driving, right? And we all need to recognize when we're behind the wheel, the focus of our attention during that time period that we're driving is driving. Mm-hmm. And so many times now with smartphones and the advent of all of the things in our vehicles that we can do remotely to some degree, you know, we can talk on the phone without using our, you know, we can talk to our phone, I guess, through the vehicle. And it's whether or not all of those other things that we can do in our vehicles make sense to do. Because you're right, in those instances where you see a vehicle that's going down a straight line road, everything is perfectly fine and dry and it's a nice day, and you see them flipped over in the median, you're like, how did they get there? And without knowing all of the circumstances, I'm guessing the majority of the time it's somebody doing the driver doing something in the vehicle that they shouldn't have been doing and losing control that way. And I hate to say it, but I think we're all somewhat responsible in those situations. Because we all do it from time to time. We all look at our phone, or we're distracted and doing other things. We were talking before the show about, you know, we see people putting on their makeup and driving down the road, or reading the newspaper, or all of the little dogs and cats and other things that we see draped over people in the front seat. Why can't you leave your dog in a kennel or something else in the back of the vehicle while you're driving? I can't imagine. I mean, especially if the airbag. I just had a case where client was really hurt by the airbag when it deployed from the steering wheel, and he had his hands 10 and 2 and was perfectly aligned with it. He still had some significant injuries when that airbag went off. Can you imagine having your
if the airbag hits Fluffy?
Yeah. Fluffy's no longer Fluffy. And that's unfortunate, but it should be stuff that we should think about when we get into a car, as to this isn't playtime. Mm-hmm. We're driving a 3,000, maybe 4,000 pound vehicle down the road. And there are significant issues that can happen, even just the blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about so often, at 60 miles an hour, you're going 88 feet per second. So it takes you about a second and a half to respond to something going down the road. And so if you're going 60 miles an hour, you've gone 120 feet before you reacted. And 120 feet is a long way. I mean, it's 40 yards. You think about all the things that can happen in almost a half of a football field, and what can happen during that time period. So that's when you react. Now, your reaction, maybe you've got a vehicle that stops from 60 to 0 in another 160 or 200 feet. You've now traveled almost 350 feet to a complete stop. So you've got to think about how close you are to the other vehicle, how quickly they can stop. And there's so many things and so many variables out there when we talk about distracted driving and how we just have to stop doing it. And we'd see a lot less accidents. And that's okay by me, because the thing when people come in and see us, I never can get them back to 100% when we talk about accidents and injuries and things like that. I can get them as close as we can, but money doesn't always, you know, compensate you for that year that you didn't see your family, or that you didn't do things that you wanted to do.
Or losing a leg or an arm. I mean, you know.
You don't know. I was just in a settlement conference on Tuesday where we were talking about that. We were talking about the valuation of my client's case. And she was like, well, I wasn't able to see my family for 10 months. And I lost this income. But, you know, I was like, well, how are we going to articulate how much that 10 months of loss of your family is? And those are the sorts of discussions that we have with clients when trying to analyze what a case is worth. Because in some instances, if you had regular interactions with that family and you don't have that for 10 months, that sense of loneliness and those sorts of things, I have to create this picture in the juror's mind to come up with a dollar value. Well, those are things that we have to think about early on in your case as to how we're going to do that and objectively show those things throughout that time period so that they have a sense of what that value is. Because if we can't do that, then the value is not much.
Sure.
Because someone who hasn't lived it has no idea what the value is. Yep. And most people who are sitting on a jury that have to make that decision haven't been through it. Because if they had, the defense lawyer would have gotten rid of them and said that they would have had too much bias towards the plaintiff.
Mm-hmm. So. And probably most of us don't think about it too, but I mean, besides the distracted driving, which covers a lot, just probably driving a little more courteous and not letting people, you know, get under
your skin
a little bit.
Right. It's like standing in line.
I mean, now it does bug me when there's a lane that's closed and you can see it for miles and somebody shoots all the way down and then puts their blinker on.
Yep.
Now that does bug me. I'll be honest.
It bugs me too, because it tells me that they can't run their life where they can see things far ahead and they're making decisions right at the end. But you know what? I think half our culture is like that, because I see it all the time. The same thing with sort of merge lanes with construction, where people will, they can see people moving over, right, and doing the courteous thing, and they go right to the end and then move over. And you're like, come on. But then you talk to those people, because I've talked to those people right. in depositions and other things, and they'll say, well, the law says that if that lane is there and that and the way it's supposed to work the most efficiently is you go to the end and then you move over. That's mm-hmm. going to be their argument. And there's some plausibility to that argument, but it still irks you.
Yeah.
And the trouble is in our society today, is we all get irked like that, and we aren't the adults in the room, and then we make a big deal of it. Whereas the five-year-old in us would recognize in kindergarten when somebody does something like that, let them in, you know, maybe say something to them or try to somehow communicate that maybe that's not right, or just don't worry about it and just move on. Right. Because half the time what I find is that the people that do that, you're sitting right behind them at the next light. And they haven't made up any ground, you know, and if you're keeping track of stuff like that, then it's one of those things where you're like, okay, I won that battle, and you move on. Because, right. But there, I've got a case right now, a road rage case, where it got really violent pretty quickly. And that's the other thing, is you never know what that other person is going to have in their car or what sort of day they're having. And mm-hmm. if you were on the street and maybe you would have a reaction that they would react and you'd be a little bit more empathetic, or maybe not. But I think it's best for everybody to just let it go because we have a lot bigger things that we need to be dealing with, especially under the circumstances.
Sure. Last minute and a half here, but probably the biggest way to protect yourself is really knowing your insurance coverages and having proper coverage.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, those are got to be the toughest conversations for you when someone is significantly hurt. And we've been involved in a few of those together with folks that have called you from the station and all. And then, man, there's just $25,000.
That's right. So we've talked about this in the past. A third of the drivers in Colorado have no insurance. So you want to make sure you have underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage with your policy. The other third have probably $25,000, which is the minimum limits. And so if you have a rear ender where you're dizzy and they need to have a CAT scan, an MRI, and an ER visit with a full scan, you're looking at $10,000 or $12,000 at the ER to make sure that you're okay. That's going to kill that policy right there. And so if you don't have insurance for yourself, for the underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage, you're going to be in trouble, because mm-hmm. the person that has the $25,000 policy or has no policy almost never has any assets to go after. And so that's where you can help yourself with MedPay. Get as much MedPay as you can. It's inexpensive coverage. And also get as much underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage as you can. Because again, that protects you when you get hit by somebody. Even though it's not your fault, you're going to have to use your insurance.
Sure.
But that way you have some way to go after somebody so that you aren't in my office saying, well, this isn't fair. We've got to be able to do something. This person who had no assets and no insurance has caused significant problems in my life. Why can't I do something about it? And my reaction is, well, we can. Mm-hmm. We can get a $14 million judgment. I've got one right now trying to chase a guy who has nothing. And so those situations, protect yourself by making sure you know what your insurance coverages are and that you have insurance for yourself in the event that that happens.
Right. Kevin, always great information.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Again, Happy New Year to you. Thank you for joining us for Legal Talk, brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. As we mentioned, it's always a free consultation. Give them a call.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever, and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take aim, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
It's time for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Dr. Ben is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems. Increase your vitality to live your fullest life without drugs and surgery. Now, here's your host, Dan Muir.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Functional Medicine Show. Brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and now Phoenix, Arizona. And Dr. Ben, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing wonderful. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, too. It is a new year. And before we get into all the things that are going on, especially with the pandemic and especially me, people that have gained a lot of weight since then, tell us about functional medicine and what sets you different from, let's say, a general practitioner.
Yes, absolutely. When we start talking about health, when we talk about what your body should actually be doing and how it should actually be functioning, that's ultimately what functional medicine is trying to do. It's trying to restore health to the imbalances in the body. Unfortunately, most health practices out there are really sick care practices, and they're trying to, it's sad. I have so many patients, they come in and they say, I'd like to manage my MS. I'd like to manage my diabetes. I'd like to manage these different things. And I kind of, buff up at that and say, you know what? We're not going to manage anything. We want to actually fix. We want to reverse. We want to repair. We want your body to be able to do the things that it needs to do to be vibrant and have the vitality back that it's supposed to have. And that's the whole point with functional medicine, is to get to that underlying why, get to that cause, and once we figure out that why, then we can fix the why. So unfortunately, most healthcare systems out there are designed to cover up the symptoms, band-aid the symptoms, really try to just keep people going. And instead, we have the opportunity to reverse diabetes, to reverse autoimmune conditions, to allow the body to repair and heal like it truly is supposed to.
You know, it really is incredible what you're able to do. Now, we're on in a new time. We used to be on it at 2 o'clock. Now we're on at 12:30. And so there's new people listening right now, Dr. Ben, and I would love for you to tell them, if you don't mind, the story about your mother, because it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really what has driven me down this path and how I got to the point of realizing that the body can do a lot of different things and things that most people aren't even aware of. So I was a junior in high school. I was playing a football game, and some kids came down after the game, and they said, "Oh, did you see what happened to your mom?" And I played offense, defense, everything, and we had a small school, so I played all the time. I didn't get to see anything out there. I was playing the whole time. And got home, and my mom had collapsed during the football game. They had to help carry her out to the car and get her home, and nobody really knew what was going on or anything. And so we started down the path of trying to figure this out, going to doctors and neurologists and all these different things. And ultimately, they found out she had MS, multiple sclerosis. And my senior year, she went on disability. She was a school teacher, got Teacher of the Year awards, just did an amazing, amazing job. But ultimately burned herself out and got to the point where her body was not able to sustain what she needed to keep going. And it started attacking its own tissue, attacking the nerves, to the point where I would come back from college and she'd have to be using her cane. My dad would wheel her down. That's when you used to be able to go down to the gate and pick somebody up. My dad would have to wheel her down in a wheelchair. She was on all the drugs that they used back then and was in this downward spiral that it was probably in the 5 to 10 year plan for dying. And she was not gonna not going to survive, was not going to be able to function and be the person she wanted to be. And so that my parents and everyone looked around. They went to Mayo Clinic, went all these different places and tried to come up with solutions. And all that was there was, hey, try this new med, try this new med. There were no surgeries for MS or anything like that. It was basically, you know, maybe do some PT, and that was about it. But fortunately, they ended up moving down to Missouri. And this was back when I was in school and kind of, you know, getting a feel for what I was going to do and what path to go down. And they found a great doctor that does this similar work that I do. And he was able to help her body unwind a lot of these issues. First thing, they were able to get off all the medications she was on. Then they were able to get rid of the wheelchair. Then they were able to get rid of the cane, to the point where her last MRI, if you know anything about MS, there's plaquing on the spine, on the brain, and that plaquing is what causes the damage, why they can't walk, why they can't move their arms as well, the different issues through there. She had no more plaquing on her MRI. That was probably 16 years ago. And the doctor, the neurologist who she'd worked with a long time, was like, I don't know what to say. If you were on the latest and greatest drug, MS drug, we'd call it a success, and we'd say, man, that drug fixed you. But you weren't. And so we don't know what to call it. So at that point, I realized, holy cow, if the body can heal from this, if given the right things and take the wrong things out, then the body can heal from almost anything. And that's what's driven me down this path. Led me to so many great teachers, so many great learning opportunities. Everything throughout my 20-year career has led me to this point where we can truly help people on a much deeper level than anyone's ever thought was possible. And that ultimately for my mom, these last 20 years of her being at her more vibrant level, she's 77 years old now. She does granny boot camps. She goes fishing in Alaska. Every year for birthday, I have four boys, if you can imagine that.
Okay.
I got four boys. And my parents, they take each birthday, they take that kid fishing. They go out to eat. They go to a store, pick out some toys. And those kids, they look forward to that the entire year. And I just look at what she's been able to give to my family, give to so many people that was going to be robbed from us because nobody knew what to do. And she was able to keep going, keep giving, and be that great person that she has been able to continue to be.
You know, it's amazing because she basically went from a person, if I remember right, basically wheelchair bound. And 20 years later, through actually fixing the problem, going in, not just masking the problems, but going in, finding out what the deal is, fixing the problem, she is now living a life better than most 40-year-olds. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, most 77-year-olds do not have the life that she has.
Most 50-year-olds don't.
Yeah, in spite of having MS, and now that we've done it in practice, I've got video testimonials on our Facebook page of people that have reversed their MS, that they've been able to reverse lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, get off different medications, be able to do a lot of different things because they did the work and allowed their bodies to get the function back to where it needs to be. And that's what drives me every day. I know that every single person that comes in the office has so much more potential than what they're putting out. And they can, I always like to say, we can do more, be more, and give more. And that's ultimately where we take our patients is give them that ability to be the best that they can be.
Absolutely. And it's unique to every individual. A lot of times the drug companies, the doctors, and I don't know if it's just because they're pressed for time or whatever, seem to lump everybody into the same types of categories. But as we've talked throughout this last year, you know, every individual is different. And so therefore you come up with an individual plan for that person.
Yep, absolutely. And even in the natural world, people do it too. They go, oh, hey, what if you can't sleep, what do you take?
Or Ambient or whatever it might be. Yeah.
Right. Ambient in the medical world, but in the natural world, they give you melatonin.
Melatonin, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, you got bad digestion. In the medical world, they say take this antacid. In the natural world, they give you some enzymes or something. But
yeah,
they're not fixing the underlying why. And that's what even in the natural world, a lot of people are not coming up with the solutions to fix it. They're still just giving you, oh, it's a supplement, so we'll give you that and that'll be better. And a lot of older people and AARP and different things, they get inundated with these things and these miracle cures and all this. Even my mom, she'll still email me over something every once in a while. Oh, what do you think about this? And it's just, you know, some scam of, oh, take this miracle supplement and you're going to get fixed. And so people get inundated with that all the time, and yet none of those are the true answers or the true fixes. And that's where we've got to come in. That's where we've got to come in from that basic level of fixing the different systems that are out of balance. I was just talking to a patient today. She's up in Mills, Wyoming. You know where that is?
No, I don't.
All right. I love throwing all the little towns at you, Dan.
I have no idea.
So we get probably 50 or 60% of our patients from out of state. So this little town up by Casper, and she was on hospice when she came in, which is, they're like, well, we don't know what else to do. You're probably not going to make it too much longer. Her blood sugar was hitting, highest she had seen was 555. We don't like it over 110.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she was on oxygen. She had almost given up hope. By the time we had run through everything, figured out what was out of balance, she said that the next morning was like, yeah, this is the first time I've actually had hope. We're about 2 months into the process now, and her blood sugar, she's actually waking up under 200, still high, but
yep,
you know, from 500 plus to under 200, she's getting up and down the stairs. She's actually, she told me today that she's coming up with a bucket list of things that she still wants to do, because she's only 61 years old and still has a lot of potential in her, and she's getting her life back. And none of that was by just giving a magic supplement, by doing a certain medication or surgery or anything like that. It was figuring out what is out of balance and fixing those issues.
Okay, so Doc, before we get into the, you know, what's going on with the pandemic and what the real pandemic is, why don't you tell people just a little bit about the process they go through when they first give you that call, and you call 970-282-1173 for an appointment. But what does that look like? How do I get started?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always say our exam is different than anything you've had done before. I'll be pinching your toes, shining a light in your eyes. I joke we give our money back guarantee if you've had a test like this done before. Lots of different things. We're throwing that net out there and just trying to find as many imbalances as we possibly can. The blood work we do, check out my Facebook page. It's Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins in Phoenix. And I have tons of videos, but the one on Monday that we did, we were talking about the top five blood tests that you need to do today to determine your risk for having a poor COVID reaction if you get COVID. And so we were looking at these blood markers that most people aren't seeing in their regular blood works. And then even if they are seeing them, they're not running them at the right time, and a lot of different variables. So we're looking at things from a different perspective. We do a brain map to see if there's, if the brain is contributing to some of this, if somebody's in a fight or flight kind of anxiety pattern, if they're not sleeping well, all these different things we can figure out from this in-depth examination. And then from there, if we know there's a why, we know we can fix the why. So as long as I know why the body's having the issues, then we can go ahead and fix it. And we just jump in and go through step by step through that process.
Okay, and once again, you're listening to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and now Phoenix, Arizona. And again, you can get a hold of Dr. Ben at 970-282-1173. Pandemic, Dr. Ben. I, for one, am tired of hearing about the pandemic. This is the only pandemic, I think, in the history where there's a 99.99999% survival rate if you get the thing. And we've totally shut down our economy. We've totally shut down society. People aren't being sociable anymore. But I think there's probably something else going on out there that's probably more dangerous than the so-called COVID pandemic.
Absolutely. I did a video on this earlier this week on our Facebook page. I was talking about what is the real pandemic in this country, and nothing I'm going to be saying is making light of anyone that's had issues with COVID or possibly died or anything, and that's not the point of this. The point is to talk about why people are having problems, why we're having these issues, because it's not just hospitals are getting overfilled and these different things. Did you know in 2017, 2018, we had a flu season from September to March? Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
you could assume that, but you probably didn't hear about it.
No, you never hear about
it. But guess what? There was 950,000 people hospitalized in September of 2017 to March of 2018 with the flu. 950,000 people were hospitalized in the United States. And guess what? That wasn't all over the news. Most of you probably don't even remember that out there. Do you know how many people? I saw that, so I geeked out a little bit. I went through the website that looked at every single state in the 50 states and how many people have been in the hospital with COVID from last March till now for these 10 months, even longer period of time than that flu season?
No, I don't.
Barely at a million.
Oh my gosh.
So in that 6 month season, 950,000 people in the hospital, we're basically at less rate for hospitalizations with COVID than we were from flu that year. And so, it is basically my point there is not that flu is any less bad than COVID or whatever. That's not the point.
Right.
But these things happen all the time. These things happen all the time. People die from the flu. People die from different viruses, from West Nile, from swine flu, whatever it is. But why? Why do some people die and why do some people not? The media, hopefully you're not listening to any media, watching the news, anything like that. I tell people throw their TV out their window. If you're watching any of the news media, what are they telling you? Who's dying now?
Now it's young people are dying.
Young people. Oh, healthy 30-year-old, healthy 40-year-old, all these things. For one, they have no idea what health is. That news anchor has no idea what health is. I've looked at thousands and thousands of blood work of people that if you saw them on the street, you'd go, healthy person.
Right.
Guess what? Not healthy person.
Not healthy.
Some people are more obvious than others, if you know what I mean, Dan.
Yes, I sure do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically what we're looking at here is that it's the state of the host and not so much the pathogen itself. Meaning we knew this way back, even reports coming out of China, back in February and March, coming out of Italy, Spain, when these hotspots were really kicking in. We knew that 98% of the people that were dying with COVID had pre-existing conditions, and many of those had two or more pre-existing conditions. Pre-existing conditions are going to be things like metabolic syndrome, which is pre-diabetes and diabetes and insulin resistance, cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure. They had other issues going on, and they're the ones that have been dying through this. Even now, when they say, it'll hit people younger, 40 and under, it's like barely over 1% of the total number of deaths with COVID are people under 40 years of age. So it really is. And they like to sensationalize it. They like to get people worked up. But that is not the people that are having the major problems and dying from this. If you look at, I've got patients that are nurses at the local hospitals up here in Northern Colorado, and we're getting a lot of patients, at least half of them are from out of state. They're from Wyoming, Nebraska, South Dakota, and they're mostly 70-year-old guys, and they've got high blood pressure, and they've got diabetes, and they've got the big beer belly, and they're inflamed, and that is the biggest pandemic going on in this country. It's not this virus. It's this underlying health status, which is actually disease state that we are as a country.
I totally believe that. And I think you're right. And it's not even so much a thing of belief. Just look at the numbers, right? I mean, the numbers will tell you.
Absolutely. And go look at how much we spend per capita as a country on, they call it healthcare, I call it sick care. How much is spent every year on this sick care for our people? And that can be state-of-the-art cancer treatments, or the doctor in Massachusetts that's doing the remote surgery on the patient in Texas, or whatever it is. We spend money like it's going out of style, literally trillions of dollars a year in the healthcare system. And yet, we have the worst healthcare outcomes of any first world country out there, the worst. In some of the different categories, we're 27th, 29th, 30th, and we're talking even some third world countries are higher than the United States. We're down at the bottom when we're talking about life expectancy, when we're talking about managing diabetes, all of these different things. We are literally the sickest country in the world. And it's no coincidence that we have some of the worst outcomes, highest death rates with COVID. And it's not a guilt trip. It's not to point fingers. It is just how we have evolved over these last 50, 60 years with the food that we're eating. And here's the thing. Remember back in World War II? Well, you weren't there, but do you remember, you know what they did when they kind of got the country, together and let's do something?
What was that? What did they do?
They were talking about, remember Victory Gardens?
Yeah, I remember that concept.
Just a lot of these say, hey, we're going to go to the grocery store and, we're not going to buy as much of this or that because we know the troops need it or whatever. And so there was this nationwide, hey, we're truly all in this together. And that's, you've heard that 100 times. How sick of are you hearing that? Oh, we're all in this together. But we're really not, because not everybody's pulling their weight. And pulling your weight is not wearing your mask. It's not social distancing. It's not washing your hands. Those things may help a little bit. But if somebody truly wanted to do the most that they possibly could for the healthcare worker, for that potential of getting somebody else sick, they would take the best care possible of their body. There was a study done 2009 range. There was a swine flu going around.
Yes.
A lot of people don't even remember that one. 61 million people got swine flu that year. So there was this swine flu going around, and there was a study done, and they tracked how long someone was contagious after getting swine flu. And people that were overweight compared to lean people that were overweight shed that virus for twice as long as a lean person, meaning they were contagious for twice as long as somebody that was lean. And not all lean people are healthy, but the assumption is that most overweight people are going to have more inflammation. They're going to have more health issues. They're not going to be as healthy as they should be. So we have known this, that the healthier a person is, one, they're going to fight it off a lot faster. Two, it's not going to be as severe of an infection, so they're not going to have to go to the hospital, have to stress out our systems. And three, they're not going to be as contagious for as long. They're not going to get grandma infected and, all the guilt trips that people give out that you're going to kill grandma if you don't wear a mask. All those things would be a lot less likely to happen if on day one, our quote-unquote leaders in the Washington, in our state capitals, all that, if they would have stepped up and said, you know what, we have seen the research, we have seen what is out there, and we know that if you have any of these pre-existing conditions, you are way more likely to have a hard time with COVID, you're going to be more contagious, you're going to have more of a strain on our healthcare system. And you need to today start doing these different things. Here, take your vitamin D, keep working out at the gym, go in and get outside and walk and move and do all these things. But you know what happened? How much weight did you gain over COVID, Dan?
Oh my gosh, I have gained back, I hate to say this, but I've gained back over 25 pounds.
Yeah, how many people, I haven't seen an official survey or anything, but my guess from talking to patients and all types of people out there, 15 pounds to 20 pounds average is what people have gained over COVID. So we have gotten more sick. We have gotten more likely to have a problem with this virus through this process than we've gotten stronger. And that is just a disgrace for our entire healthcare system, our political system. Everybody should be shouting from the rooftops, hey, take your vitamin D, take your vitamin C, take your zinc, go and exercise, go and walk, go and keep your blood sugar stabilized. You know what? Don't drive through that. What are you driving through, Dan?
Oh, all of them.
what'd you hit on the way up?
Arby's.
Arby's. Don't drive through Arby's.
Right.
I'm gonna do a video next week on how to eat healthy for $10 a day. And this is what I hear all the time on Facebook. People are like, well, it's easy for you to say that. You know, you're entitled and you've got enough money. It's expensive to eat healthy. And I'm like, you know what? No, it's expensive to have a triple bypass. You know how much that costs?
I don't know, 250,000. I have no idea.
Probably,
yeah, something crazy.
Eating healthy costs a lot less than that. But you know what it does take? It takes some education, and it takes some determination, and it takes some willpower. And that's where we jump in. We love to help people. We love to educate them. Love to get them down that path. Check out our Facebook page, YouTube channel. We've got over 300 different videos, all types of things for you to start getting your health back today. And that's my mission. That's my passion in life. That's why we have our Phoenix location. We're going to be opening up a Nashville location. I don't know if I told you that.
No, that's fantastic.
Yep. So hopefully by the end of the first quarter, we'll be rolling out Nashville. We've got an office in Cheyenne. We need to take our health back. We need to take the strength back and to get out of the thought that there's any amount of government or medication or vaccination or anything else that's going to save us. You've got that healing potential inside of you, and you need to jump in and take action.
Yeah, it really is up to us. You're right. And it does help to have somebody like you, even if it's just an accountability partner, somebody to check in with and make sure you're doing things right. And so, Doc, once again, if people want to schedule an appointment or they want to get a hold of you to find out more, where do they go?
Yes, absolutely. So our website is FM Centers, plural, as in functional medicine centers, fmcenters.com. And that has all of our information, tons of articles, a lot of different info that you can get. You can check out our Facebook page, Functional Medicine Centers of Arizona and Fort Collins, and lots of good information there as well. We post videos 3, 4, 5 times a week, lots of recipes, all types of different things to get you going. Or if you're ready to take action today, call Alicia at 970-282-1173, my new patient coordinator. She'll walk you through what the process looks like. See if you're a good fit. We are a very busy office. We're booked out over a month to get in, but we love to get people that are motivated, ready, willing to take massive action. If that's you, if you're ready to take on whatever you need to do to get your life and get your health back, give us a call. We're here to help. We're here to get your feet moving down that path.
Dr. Ben, as always, this has been great information. Thank you. Thank you so much, and have a great afternoon.
Awesome, Dan. Be well. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you. And once again, you've been listening to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and Phoenix. And the phone number is 970-282-1173. I've been your host, Dan Muir. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for joining us for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben. Contact the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins now by visiting functionalmedicinefortcollins.com or call 970-716-0079. Join Dan Muir and Dr. Ben next time right here on KLZ.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.